KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Trajan Wealth and Tropical Smoothie Cafe. It is time to chat with the Texas Rangers manager, Skip Schumacher. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. How y'all doing?
And we're doing okay, and I bet that's as good as can be expected after a game like yesterday. I want to go to that first inning where I realized the numbers look bad and there was an error, but what do you say to DeGrom, or what does he say when it's not like the ball was getting hit hard? It was an average exit velocity of 72.3, but the runs still pile up against you.
Yeah, I think there's just frustration, right? I mean, those hits are going to happen, but I think if you ask DeGrom, I think he's, more upset about not being, inside the strike zone, ahead of the count, putting guys away, with his really good fastball hit or his slider. His slider just didn't have, really the effect that it normally had last night. And I think that, ended up being the kind of the story. Him going back out after the first inning was a little bit of a debate, to be honest with you, with me, and coming off kind of that injury, about a week ago, but ended up getting, a quick second, going back out in the third and then into the fourth. And we just needed inning coverage and thought we could fight back. And we ended up fighting back. It just, we couldn't stop their offense, unfortunately.
What was the tipping point in that debate? Is it DeGrom just kind of saying, I'm okay, I can go?
Yeah. I mean, he was, I think, frustrated and didn't want to, go out after one inning. I think that's number one. Number two, he knew where our bullpen situation was at. After, a 10-game stretch, day off, 9-game stretch, day off, it's, we got a lot going on, as far as innings on the bullpen. So making sure that he wanted to go back out there and try to, at least give us 5. And he did a really good job after that first inning. Going in the second inning, I think it was like a 7-pitch, inning. So we were kind of almost back on track and then just kind of got away from us after that.
I do feel like starting pitcher, Skip, do have a lot of badge of honors that they carry with them. But helping out the bullpen seems to be one that they take a lot of pride in.
They really do. They know what's at stake out there. They, if they can get an extra inning, they know the residual effect the next day or the day after, and not having to use kind of a leverage guy in a down game is a big deal for the next day. So, there's a lot of, effects when a starter goes, either long or short in a good or bad way. And so, for him getting a couple more innings, believe it or not, really did save us.
You were talking a little bit about DeGrom struggling a little bit with that slider. And I know you were a position player, but do you know kind of what's going through a pitcher's mind whenever they don't have that pitch that they know they can get people out with and they don't have one of their best pitches, kind of what they're thinking?
When I first came up in 2005, we had Dave Duncan, obviously, in my opinion, should be a Hall of Fame pitching coach. He told me, and Chris Duncan, at the time was one of my good buddies, we came up kind of together, that a pitcher never knows exactly what they have coming out of their bullpen off speed wise. So they always try to establish the fastball, but they never know what the slider, curveball, changeup look like. So just remember that as you, first and second inning, you're at bats. So I've always thought about that when I was a player and then watching it in the game, seeing, what our starters have right away is kind of a sign of, when they need to make the adjustment either early on or later and what the other side is picking up. And you could tell kind of right away the frustration he had with his slider and kind of fastball command. And then, couldn't really make the, a total adjustment that he needed to make later on in the game.
The hitter probably tells you exactly what that off-speed stuff's doing, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you see I'm just saying, when you see these takes, and kind of, ball out of hand, that it's not just the typical spin and depth of the slider.
Yeah.
And so you have an idea right away.
Now, all that being said, how much worse did you feel like that Langford error made a lot of these problems?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I prefer guys to side on the, on aggression, and I want you to be as aggressive defensively and on the bases as much as you can, but also be smart. And I think, as a base runner, when you're on second base, at first and second, and I think there was nobody out, you do freeze halfway on kind of that bloop single in left field when it's in front of you. It's like a really tough read as a base runner. And I think Wyatt knew that. And as soon as he got kind of a clean hop, and he kind of saw the base runner, a little bit halfway, maybe three quarters of the way, he thought maybe he could have a force out at third base. So I understood the mindset. Obviously, the throw wasn't ideal, and he'll tell you that. But I think the mindset was right of, you've seen it, even in the World Series last year, where it was kind of a short hop, they tried to get him out at second base, or it might have been a line drive and they caught it, and you know, Miguel Rojas made a really good pick to double him off. It's kind of the same situation. You're kind of in no man's land as a base runner. And I think that's what probably Wyatt was thinking, just unfortunately made a bad throw.
Can I ask you a question then also on as base running goes? And this is, you know, very remedial high school baseball stuff, but it was always don't make the first or third out at third base. And I'm just kind of curious, Berger was trying to leg out a triple and got that third out at third base. Is that where you're like, no, man, I love the aggression?
Yeah, I mean, I gave him the green light to steal the other day, and all of a sudden he thinks he's like, you know, base stealer, you know, this five tools speed guy,
Vince Coleman out there, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then I look up after, you know, he smoked the ball to center, kind of took a weird bounce and went to the wall, and I thought it was going to be a stand up double, and then I thought saw him going to third, I went, oh my God, here we go, and. You know, listen, he's playing against his old team. I'm sure there's something, you know, in back of his mind about that and trying to, you know, play as hard as he can with something to prove. And he tried to go to third. And obviously that would have been like a great spring training out, you know, like, hey, just roll it over, get through the inning, great swing, get the out, let's move on. But not during a game. I think I don't think we're going to see that too many times.
Okay. All right. You know, we'll keep an eye on it, though, for you.
I'm sure he'll notice.
I wanted to go back to pitching for just a second, because Rocker the other night, they're like, he had struggled. I think he was struggling the other night. It looked like his sinker and then his slider was a little low, but then all of a sudden he found it after that big moment where he had the bases loaded. What clicked for him?
Yeah, that's kind of my point, right? It's like you could tell that they were on the slider, you know, pretty early on with the swings they were taking. My point of like with DeGrom last night and compared with Rocker the night before. Rocker made, a really good adjustment. Obviously, the Brandon Nimmo home run really, you know, he was able to take a deep breath because that could have changed, you know, the game and the trajectory of the game as well. But after that home run, kind of settled down, him and Teagues felt, you know, it was a little bit of a change of the slider of, you know, the sights as far as like where to start it and where it should finish. And then made a fantastic adjustment. Again, I had a bullpen arm. I think it was Alexander going or Allstrom going in the third inning, you know, ready to face Peters. And then he gets out of that inning and goes into the sixth inning. So, which was again gigantic as far as where our bullpen was at the time. So, Rocker made a really, really good adjustment. This guy has made strides. You know, obviously there's been a few learning and teaching moments, you know, throughout the year, whether it's covering the bag or, you know, pitch selection, that type of thing. But you have to realize how many innings he has at the major league level in his career. It's not many. And we think he's this established guy, not you, but, you know, a lot of people, and he's not. So he's still learning. And I think it was a really big moment in his career, getting out of that big jam, getting into the sixth inning against a playoff caliber team.
Now, yesterday broke a string of 14 straight games from the Rangers starting pitchers where they've given up three or fewer runs. And I know the offense has picked it up in the last couple of games, but you kind of talked about this over the weekend, and you're like, it can be frustrating to have our offense go cold when those guys have picked it up when they really needed it. Have you ever seen any of the hitters talk to the pitchers or apologize for not, like, turning more of these performances into victories along the way?
I don't think it's like a team meeting or anything like that, but I think, you know, the team is very tight inside that clubhouse, and they always talk about, you know, picking each other up. It's not in not like a team closed door meeting, but, you know, they will walk by them and say, you know, we got you, or, you know, my bad or our bad, you know, we'll get you, you know, whatever it is, that type of language. But, you know, there's so many conversations off of the field that these guys, whether at dinner or at coffee the next morning. I was at breakfast and, you know, Evo had a bunch of guys, you know, talking through some stuff at, you know, at breakfast with, multiple teammates. He did that 3 days in a row as I was at the same place with other coaches. So there's always conversations that are happening. And I think that is a natural kind of, you know, conversation with offense and pitchers and, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, they know they got each other's back and when they're struggling.
Logan Ohapi had a conversation with the media a couple days ago when he talked about, you know, moving to the Rangers and going back to the minor leagues. And he was like, look, not only was I willing, but I needed is the word that I would use from it. And he's talked about how that's kind of like just re-sparked his love of the game and going out to the ballpark. And you've expressed those similar kind of emotions in the past. What's it like when, like, you're going to be there and you're going to do your job, but man, it feels like the game has sucked away your love for it along the way?
Yeah, this game is hard, as you know, and it's more than just a game for a lot of these guys. You know, it's, you got families to feed and bills to pay and a lot of expectations and, you know, media and whatever, social media, whatever people look at. So there's a lot of on these players' plates that, you know, luckily I didn't have to deal with some of it when I was a player. There was no such thing as Twitter or whatever at the time. So, you know, now there's a lot of things that if you start reading into it, it gets challenging. So, you know, Logan, you know, was very, very open when we traded for him, how he wanted to come and work and asked, you know, different opinions and wanted to work on them in AAA. I mean, he was very, very open to the idea, wanted the mental and physical reset, felt like it was going to be healthy for him and for us as an organization, which, man, you don't hear that from a guy who has hit 20 home runs 2 years ago and he's 26 years old, right? Like, that just does not happen. And he wanted it. And credit to him, he went down there, worked, felt like he found something on the catching side and hitting side. He's not a finished product. You know, he's still working every day at the catching right now. He's DHing, you know, for the most part for right now. But I think there's a chance he gets a start here soon behind the plate. And everything so far has been good, but, you know, still has work to do, but definitely healthy for a player to have that reset, especially when he's open to it. It goes a long way.
And I think, you know, a player that we all have kind of been waiting for him to do what he's doing, that kind of experienced that, Kevin, would be Justin Foscue.
Yeah.
And the up and down nature he's had with this club. And then this year, as you told us, you were like, he has a home right now for sure. And he just seems like whenever he's in that zone, he is one of the most fun hitters to watch.
He is. And I mean, what an at bat he took against Jordan Hicks last night, throwing 100 miles an hour in a slider that he hits, you know, down the line for a home run. I mean, like, it's just what he's doing right now, and just missed one in center field, you know, the at bat before, maybe the first at bat. So he had some really quality at bats last night. He's in there tonight against a righty, which, you know, he hasn't had a ton of starts. But, you know, at this point of the year, you know, we're trying to, you know, play the hottest hand we can and get these guys going to, you know, as far as on the offense. And Justin provided that. And he's had some, you know, quality defense as well, you know. So he's really, really impressed me, you know, with his bat quality since he's been called up. You know, obviously we've given him a lot of lefties, but, you know, there's some righties that he's – I mean, the other night when he took Ben Joyce the other way to get the guy over – that wasn't easy, right? So he's showing some real signs of being a complete hitter, and he's been a real bright spot for us.
Now, when you talk about playing the hot hand, kind of, it feels like the fortunes month over month of Foscue and Evan Carter at the plate have gone in opposite directions when you look at what Evan has done this month at the plate. Are there anything particular in terms of his at-bats or approach from Evan Carter this month that has felt different? Because he really was rolling in July.
He was, but I would say that, you know, a lot of guys struggled in August, right? So it wasn't just one guy. It was a few guys that got cold at the wrong time, right? And multiple guys. And I've said this before, I'm hoping that multiple guys now get hot, which it's starting to trend that way. So, which, you know, could be at the right time, the last, whatever, 5-6 weeks of guys getting hot at the right time. And hopefully Evan is one of those. I think the biggest thing for Evan is he's learning right now that you can't out-talent the league. This league is talented with all kinds of pitch shapes and reports and everything else that they're attacking you with. The more that you play at this level, the more exposed you get and the more areas of weakness that show up, and you're going to have to refine your game. And that's what he's learning right now. And he's doing a good job of trying to bunt more, which he got a bunt the other day against a lefty, and he's trying to hit the other way more and not just pull side power. And he's trying to, the off speed pitches have been kind of giving him a little bit of trouble. So he's trying to back up the baseball a little bit more. And so there's, there's a lot that goes on. Again, Brandon Nimmo and JV have been working with him every day. He's healthy, which is also good news, playing a great defense in center field. But the hitting side is going to be, you know, work in progress, and he's definitely working. And I feel like the last few games actually has been pretty good. Double the first game of the series. The day before, he had a bunt hit and a double. So I think it's trending the right way, I'm hoping. I've said trending a lot this year, I feel like. I'm trying not to use that word because I get in trouble sometimes, health-related things. But I do feel like, you know, he has shown some signs of some growth this year, which is always good.
Sorry if I missed any announcement on this front, but is Jack Leiter going to have another rehab appearance? And you had said that he was looking maybe 50-50 for the bullpen. What are the factors that go into that?
Yeah, I think, you know, Leiter, he's going to pitch two innings out of the bullpen tonight at Round Rock, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we're trying to figure out at this point of the year what is the best for him and for us. And he's never pitched out of the bullpen before, so want to give him some reps, you know, with, you know, kind of what that look is like, you know, getting ready after, you know, whatever, the third inning, and you got to get hot to pitch the next inning. You don't have this like half hour warm up before you get in. And how's he feel after that? Can he be a 2 to 3 inning guy out of the bullpen to hand it off to Lats? Throwing 100 miles an hour with real off speed. There's a lot of things that you have to factor in here. And can you build him up to 100 pitches at this point and feel okay about it as well? So, you know, there's some questions that we have, you know, conversations, I should say, with medical and CY and Ross, and kind of brainstorming of exactly what's best for us and the player. And we're going to see what it looks like tonight with Jack out of the bullpen.
Does that work in cooperation at all with monitoring the innings from Rocker? Because we've talked about in the past, and you just mentioned earlier, how many innings he's thrown this year in terms of like the rest of his baseball career.
Yeah, the conversations happen all the time, you know, with the player and the front office and medical. Rocker is a big physical dude that feels good right now as far as where his innings are at, the amount of pitches. You know, we haven't pitched him more than 100 pitches, more than, I think, one time the whole year. And so, you know, he's recovered. Now, having said that, he's had on 4 days rest, I think, 3 out of the last 4 starts, because we had to kind of push back DeGrom and kind of bumped up some others. And unfortunately, Rocker was one of those where he's been on 4-day rest the last 3 starts. So trying to back him up potentially this next start is keep him on his normal pace is kind of the conversation we're having internally. But, you know, the recovery wise, man, he's feeling good. Throw 96 miles an hour with a good slider still. So obviously still needs to develop that changeup. I'm going to still yell and scream at him about that. But I think he's, so far, health wise, he's been okay.
All right, Skip. These are the last two. They're super easy questions. So, this is the last time we talk to you before I throw out the first pitch next Monday. Question number one: glove or no glove? I'm not going out there to like play catch, but I am going out there to throw. Do I take a glove with me?
Yeah. So I've debated this for years of like, how old is too old to bring a glove to the field, right? Like as a fan, you know, I'm not real sure what the age requirement or limit is on that. But I feel like when you are pitching off a mound, you absolutely should wear, if you want to bring a glove, you bring a glove. If that's natural to you, it's okay.
Okay. All right. And then we built a pretty good rapport. I have no clue how this works, but if I requested you to catch the first pitch, would Skip Schumacher be willing to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. If you one-hop me, just be ready. You know, there's going to be some backlash on these calls if you one-hop me. So I just want you to be prepared. If you call me out, you better not one-hop me.
Right now, I'm high and in on righty batters. So that's what I'm working on, is making sure I get it down and up a little bit. So I'll be all right. I don't think I'm going to one-hop you, Skip.
It sounds good.
All right, awesome.
Thank you very much, good sir. We will, I guess, see you on Monday then.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Texas Rangers manager Skip Schumacher right here on 105.3 The Fan, with which I interpret that as perhaps breaking news that he will indeed catch your first pitch.